This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. Tonight, Bethel residents will get another chance to tell the Bethel City Council what they think about a proposed 2 cent per ounce tax on sugar-sweetened beverages. As proposed, it would be an excise tax paid by those who sell the beverages. It may end up back in committee for more work after the public comments come in at tonight's meeting. KYUK's Olivia Ebert says more.
The tax would not be charged to the consumers of sugary beverages, but distributors and retailers who could choose to pass the tax along to their customers. This isn't the first time council members are hearing about this tax. The idea last came up in a series of December meetings, but after council member critique, the Parks, Recreation, Aquatic Health and Safety Committee moved to table the vote in order to make amendments to the proposal. The new suggested amendments contain language that clarifies what sugar-sweetened beverages actually are and raises the proposed tax to 2 cents per ounce rather than 1 cent. The committee has also proposed clarifying how powdered sugary drinks like Tang will be taxed. And finally, following council member concerns about how revenue from the tax will be accounted for and applied, the committee has proposed creating an interest-bearing account for the revenue that's reserved specifically for Parks Committee projects. The main project the committee has earmarked is building a new community gym for things such as intramural sports. They also hope to apply some of the revenue towards making Bethel water safer and tastier. Kathy Hansen, who sits on the Parks Committee, says that while her interest in the tax began as a way to support the gym, the more she's learned about the detrimental health effects of sugar-sweetened beverages, the more that has become a driving force behind her motives.
It's killing us with dental disease, with obesity, with diabetes. Diabetes nationwide has tripled in the last 30 years, and that's a deadly disease. Heart disease. These things are caused by the intake of too much sugar.
Christy Inman, the owner of Karina's Case Lock Groceries, says the tax will disproportionately affect people from villages who wouldn't even be able to use the very gym it's funding. She says the city should be focusing first on clean drinking water.
To me, it's like a form of legal theft. This isn't about health. It's about greed with a do-gooder name attached. If this was about health, we would be discussing clean and safe drinking water, not only for Bethel, but for the region.
Inman also says many of her customers can barely afford their groceries in the first place, and the tax would make food costs even harder on them. Kathy Hansen says that the committee hopes to buy itself more time by tabling the vote yet again. Also in tonight's City Council meeting, Councilmember Conrad C.J. McCormick will introduce a resolution that would hire an independent contractor, Rachel K. Gernat, to evaluate how the city and its police force investigates and prosecutes sexual assault cases. And the Community Action Grant Technical Review Board will forward their recommended grant awardees to City Council for approval. Among the recommendations are a Nordic ski groomer, a wrestling mat, funds for First Fridays, and more. To listen to tonight's meeting, tune into KYUK at 6:30 p.m. In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
Next, in crime. 110 days after a Bethel woman reported she was sexually assaulted, Bethel police arrested her alleged rapist. The woman, Juanita Nick, said she was raped by Bethel resident 32-year-old Samuel Stephen Jenkins the night of December 18th. Jenkins faces two felony charges of sexual assault in the second degree, penetration of an incapacitated victim, and sexual assault in the third degree. As of yesterday afternoon, Jenkins was being held in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Correctional Center on $75,000 bail. He was arraigned last Friday, and his preliminary hearing will be on April 26th. After Nick reported she was raped, she was administered a sexual assault kit at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. She says it took 34 days for Bethel police to pick up her sexual assault kit. Bethel police would not comment on the timeline. Several months after her initial report to police, Nick protested what she said was a criminal justice system's inaction on her case. Nick's protest prompted the Bethel City Council to hire an independent investigator to review the city's handling of sexual assault cases. Next, in fish. The size of king salmon returning to western Alaska rivers to spawn has been decreasing over the past few decades. Now researchers at the University of Alaska Fairbanks think they're close to understanding why. Peter Wesley and Andrew Seitz are fishery scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks who helped publish new research on king salmon in February. To answer why these salmon are getting smaller, researchers attach tags to the fish that can record the depth and temperature of the water around them. Seitz says that many of the salmon's tags were recording temperatures above 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
Thought, well, where is it in the high 70s in the winter in the Bering Sea, even at depth? And the only place that we can infer that is that warm is in the belly of a salmon shark.
Wesley and Seitz's research indicates that returning king salmon are getting smaller because the bigger ones are getting eaten. They say predators like salmon sharks may target the older, larger kings because they stand out. Seitz says predators' preference for larger fish may have always existed, but there could just be more predators now than in the past.
There's sort of circumstantial evidence that salmon shark numbers had increased since the 1980s, since high seas drift netting was banned.
He's talking about the 1989 United Nations moratorium on high seas large-scale drift nets and the global ban in 1992. He says the 1972 Marine Animal Protection Act could also have increased the number of other predators like seals that also prey on salmon. Seitz says in addition to there being more predators, they may also be roaming around in more northern waters, which is an important habitat for king salmon.
Traditionally, it was thought that salmon sharks largely hang out in south of the Aleutian Islands and in the Gulf of Alaska, but it turns out that people are encountering salmon sharks as far north as the Bering Strait now.
Wesley says smaller fish also means fewer king salmon in future runs.
Larger fish have more eggs. They tend to have bigger eggs. And so the large old females are the ones that contribute most to the population. Harvesters have to try to catch more fish to make up for the fact that they're smaller, and there's not that many extra fish to be caught these days. So it has profound consequences for people.
It's not yet clear how much the decline in king salmon numbers and size can be attributed to predators, as opposed to increased fishing pressure or climate change. But Seitz and Wesley's research shows the need for more research into the non-human animals that have an impact on salmon sizes and numbers. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.